Well, the Bible tells us this in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 9 through 11. These were Isaiah's words as he's speaking for the Lord. He says, "Jerusalem, you have good news to tell. Go up on a high mountain, Jerusalem. You have good news to tell. Shout out loud the good news. Shout it out and don't be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. Look, the Lord is coming with power to rule all the people. Look, he will bring reward for his people. He will have their payment with him. He takes care of his people like a shepherd. He gathers them like lambs in his arms and carries them close to him. He gently leads the mothers of the lambs." I want to introduce you to someone. Before I introduce you, I want to just say that Jesus, of course, is the shepherd and we are the sheep. This is something that you should write down and never forget. But I want you to pay attention for a second to the screen because I want you to meet Shrek. This is Shrek the sheep. Yes, you can laugh. He's rather strange looking. He's rather large. This sheep named Shrek became famous a while back for hiding out in caves by himself. Get this, for 6 years. Because of his isolation, his fleece, of course, had become really, really large. It grew and it grew. And by the time he was finally shaved, the amount of a fleece that fell from his body was about 60 pounds. And of course, most sheep have a fleece weighing only about 10 pounds. And sometimes it's a little bit more, but not by much. And really, for 6 years, Shrek carried six times the regular weight of his fleece. All because, listen, he was away from his shepherd. Take a good look, because after this, he gets shaved, and this is sort of what he looks like, and there's probably other pictures, but if you look at this next one, you can see how small he is in comparison to that huge fleece that he was carrying around for so long. And of course, the idea of a shepherd and sheep is really reminiscent of what we find in the book of John, when Jesus compares himself to a shepherd and his followers as the sheep. Jesus said in John 10, 11, and 14, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own." See, if you think about it, Shrek the sheep is much like people, and sometimes we are those people who we know Jesus, but we sort of wander off. You know, we sort of do our own thing, and we go hide away, maybe not for 6 years, could be 6 days, 6 months, 6 weeks, you get the idea. And if we avoid the Lord's constant refining of our character, we're going to end up accumulating all of this extra weight, carrying around things we shouldn't carry around. And, you know, it's quite a burden to carry around a fleece that large, and it's not something that we were designed to carry. You know, it's funny, because today in our world, you can go to different websites and, you know, answer some questions, and they tell you what kind of animal you are, you know, and, you know, you can, you know, you type in a bunch of answers, and it'll tell you that you're a sloth. It'll tell you that, like Bungie, you'll be a Sasquatch, or, you know, or other things, you know, it'll tell you your different kinds of animals. You could be a possum, you could be a kangaroo, you know, based on how you answer questions. Websites, of course, even more so, you can go and find out what kind of dog breed you could be, you know. You could be a terrier, you could be a Rottweiler based on how you answer questions. You could be a pug, they like to snort, you know. Could be a standard poodle. But with even all those funny websites and all those funny things that people can go waste their time doing, you know, it's interesting because, you know, when you think about the Bible calling us sheep, no one likes to compare themselves to sheep. You know, the reason why is because, well, they're unintelligent. They're really not smart animals at all. And there's a lot of things about sheep that really shed light on the fact of why Jesus called himself the good shepherd, why the Bible relates us to sheep. Sheep need a shepherd. Sheep need a faithful, kind, loving shepherd. So my question tonight, as we jump into this one verse that's filled with so much, is do you have a shepherd? You might think of Jesus as your savior, but is he your Lord? Is he your everyday shepherd in your life? Tonight, as we put the spotlight on this verse here in chapter 40, verse 11, we see this great prophetic verse that was written hundreds of years before Jesus that really is fulfilled in Christ, that describes the Good Shepherd. And that's the title of this message. And, you know, maybe you come across verses like this in the Bible, Psalm 23, that tells us the Lord is my shepherd. You know, a lot of people read Psalm 23. Psalm 80, verse 1, that says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who led Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." Jesus even said this in Matthew 9, verse 36. He says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd." We are sheep in need of a shepherd. And this verse really sheds light on the fact that as God's people, we need the Lord to guide us. And there's many things about the Lord being a shepherd to us that we're going to learn about here tonight. But it was one author named Philip Keller who was a shepherd himself in South Africa and actually wrote a lot about the shepherding and how it is an interesting thing to learn about. And he said, "Among the animal kingdom, sheep seem to have come out on the short end. From all accounts, they are of limited intelligence. And when it comes to finding food, they are definitely uncreative. As creatures of habit, they'll follow paths through desolate places, even though not far away is some really excellent place to get some food. Sheep are also given to listless wandering," he says, "and they are definitely at the lower end of the intelligence scale." I mean, how does that make you feel? We're compared to unintelligent animals. But a lot of times we want to be super sheep, sophisticated sheep. I'm the smartest lamb out of the bunch. We're not. We're unintelligent. And if we tried to take care of ourselves, we'd end up in a bad place. You know, I always thought it's funny because you got sheep and you got goats. You know, goats are totally fine by themselves. They figure things out. Sheep are not. Well, this is why the Bible tells us and pictures us as sheep, because it matches us. It's perfect for us. Now, if you're taking notes tonight, this verse shows us four things that the Good Shepherd does. We're just highlighting this verse. And even though it's in the Old Testament, it's something that points ahead to this Redeemer, this Messiah that Isaiah talks about, that we know Jesus is the Messiah and fulfilled many of the prophecies that were written by Isaiah. But there's four things here that the Good Shepherd does. And number one, and listen carefully, the Good Shepherd feeds his flock there at the beginning of verse 11. The Good Shepherd also gathers us. He carries us and he leads us. And I'll repeat these as we go through these verses. But if you've never studied the book of Isaiah, I would challenge you, just go and try to read through it and study it. It's been one of the biggest blessings I can honestly say in my Christian life to have to teach through this book. It's so challenging and so difficult to just grasp pictures and then communicate. It's been a blessing to me. I know it would be a blessing to you, but one of the main themes of Isaiah is pretty simple. Only God can save you. You know, Israel was always guilty of trying to find all these alliances and people to help them. And hey, we didn't listen to God, so now we got to bail ourselves out. And they're always trying to fandangle all these deals and got themselves in really tight spots and difficult places. And the main sub-theme of Isaiah is actually an interesting one. It's that sin, it isn't worth your time. That it's better just to listen to God and do things his way than to snub God and say, I'm going to follow my own heart and my own ways, because in the end, we end up turning back to God anyways. And so it just makes sense to follow him from the get-go. Now, chapters 1 through 39 is interesting because did you know there's 66 books in the Bible? There's 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. There's 39 books in the Old Testament, and well, there's 39 chapters in the first part of the book of Isaiah. There's 27 books in the New Testament. There's 27 chapters in the second part of the book of Isaiah. So it's an interesting parallel. But the first part of Isaiah in chapters 1 through 39 is about God's disciplining work. God's basically saying, look, you didn't listen to me. I've got to send you off into captivity. I'm having to really break you guys down and weed out all of the terrible things that you've gotten in the habit of doing. And then in chapters 40 through 66, which we're looking at the 40th chapter here tonight, but just one verse, is the beginning of God talking about his redemptive work, his restoring work, what he wants to do to take the people from a bad place and hardship to a place of learning and growth. God's redemptive work, his restoring work. And so if you're curious, I always tell people this when I teach through Isaiah, that if you read 2 Kings 15 through 21 and 2 Chronicles 26 through 33, you get a feel for the history that was going on during the time when Isaiah was prophesying. Now, Isaiah talked to the people for 58 years under four kings. And many of the people didn't like Isaiah. I think there was a whole lot of people when Isaiah stopped talking, they said, man, finally that guy's quiet. Leave us alone. But he had a lot of good things to say because he was speaking for the Lord. And really, as we get to chapter 40, as we look at the 11th verse, chapter 40 is all about the greatness of God. And as Isaiah starts the second half of the book, he's really pointing to the Messiah who would really be at the core of all the redemptive and restorative work of God. I love that simple idea. At the center of everything good for us as believers is Jesus, is God's work through his son, Jesus Christ. So chapter 40 is kind of this new section, and he's really saying to them and to us that, hey, look, God hasn't abandoned you. Your best days are still ahead. I have a purpose. I have grace for you. He's still coming to save you is what Isaiah is telling them. Believe it. And let me work in your life. And here in this 40th chapter, as he kicks off kind of that theme, he's talking about one of the most core things about us being followers of the Lord is learning to let God be our shepherd, our guide. So first, we see that the good shepherd feeds. I love this. If you look at verse 11, I'm reading now from the New King James Version there. Verse 11 says this, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. Here's the thing I want you to see. Jesus Christ is our great provider. The shepherd feeds the sheep. We should look to our shepherd to provide our spiritual sustenance and through that, the inspiration to move forward into God's will. And here we see that one of the things the good shepherd does is he feeds. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. You know, one of the things shepherds do is they take the sheep from place to place in order to be fed. Because remember what I told you earlier about that info about sheep? They're so unintelligent that they'll keep looking and digging in the dirt rather than go somewhere where there's green grass. And they have to be told, hey, sheep, hey, Johnny Boy sheep, over here. There's some green grass for you. They have to be led that way. Otherwise, they won't do well. And many of them will continue to try to find something in a place where there's no food. And so feed here is the word to pasture. It's the idea of grazing the flocks. And this is kind of one of the aspects of a good shepherd is to care lovingly for the sheep, to make sure that they're fed. First thing the shepherd has to do is feed the sheep, and the Lord feeds us like a shepherd feeds his flock. One person said this, I think this was the guy I quoted earlier, who said that sheep must be directed to good pasture. Or no, sorry, this is Spurgeon. He said, sheep have to be directed to good pasture and must be moved to new pasture when they're stripped, when they've stripped the grass bare. And he parallels that. He said, we need as much carefully directed feeding as sheep. No creature has less power to take care of itself than sheep. And even the tiny ant with its foresight, he says, can provide for the evil day, but this poor creature must be tended by man or else they will perish. So think about what that says to us. We have to be cared for or we will perish. We have to receive spiritual food from our Lord or we will perish. We'll shrivel up and not be healthy. God loves to identify himself as a shepherd. You know, all through the Old Testament, there were all kinds of great shepherds, Abel, Moses, David, Jacob. And so the idea is that the shepherd is always concerned with the flock getting the sustenance that it needs. It's a pretty simple point to make that the good shepherd feeds us. And so here's the idea. As believers, if the Lord is our shepherd, then do we look to the shepherd to give us spiritual food? Do we look to the Lord to provide what we need? You know, there's so many things that we can look at in life to satisfy us. So many things that we can have our hands in to look to try to find fulfillment or satisfaction. But I can honestly say that the only thing that really can bring true satisfaction is the Lord, His Word, through the Holy Spirit. God's always looking to satisfy, to fulfill and complete us as His sheep. Look, let me just say, when we don't look to the Lord to provide our spiritual needs, when we're trying to find things on our own and do things on our own and find meaning in life, we are going to go on an endless list and an endless circle. So the question becomes, are you and I looking to Jesus to satisfy? If we're just simple sheep that need a shepherd to provide, do we look to the Lord for that? You know, sometimes we start the day and we think, I feel so empty. I feel so run down. There's so many things going on in my life. We need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, show me something from you in your word. Speak to me, fill me, satisfy my soul so that the things that don't work out well in my life won't destroy me, but will just be there. And we have to look to Jesus to be our satisfaction. So the Good Shepherd feeds. But secondly, Isaiah points to how the Good Shepherd gathers. And I love this because the second part says, he will gather the lambs with his arm. This is the idea that Jesus Christ is also our common denominator for fellowship. We should gather around the Good Shepherd. You know, this is what makes a church body a good church body, is that the fellowship of believers isn't gathered around anything else other than Jesus and Him crucified and resurrected. It's Jesus that becomes the common denominator. I love it when I look out into a fellowship of believers and I see people across cultural lines, across generational lines, that just love Jesus and don't even notice the differences between them because they're too busy loving on the Lord. Man, don't we need more of that? And when Jesus is at the center, things like that can happen. But Isaiah shows us here how the Good Shepherd brings us together. He will gather the lambs with his arm. Gather refers to collecting or assembling. And the shepherd shows that special care because it's the idea of being gathered to his heart, into his bosom, this closeness to the Lord, his arm. Of course, next we'll see that, but it's the idea of this gathering that comes together around the person of Jesus Christ. You know, the shepherd, when he would gather all the sheep around, not only would he bring them to a place of spiritual food, but as we were looking earlier at the lambs, they need to be groomed, don't they? So all of us have this in common. We're all sort of, figuratively speaking, having a lot of fleeces that we're carrying around. And we need those to be groomed. Have you ever been and gathered with God's people and focused on the Lord and felt like there was a burden that you were carrying that you finally left at the feet of Jesus? I mean, I don't know who hasn't had that happen to them as a follower of Christ. But so it's interesting because as the Lord is our shepherd and he gathers us together, we're all sort of being gathered together and groomed together. But it has to start at salvation. So the only way we can really gather together is through the fact that we've been made children of God through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're gathered together at salvation. And we're gathered together for the Lord to spiritually sort of groom us and work in our lives. And this is why it's so important, I think, when we are gathered together around the person of Christ, that we talk about how the Lord is grooming us. What kind of things did we carry in here that we left as we worship the Lord? Or not even necessarily here in this physical building, but how have we come to around the Lord and he's taken burdens off of our shoulders? Those are things that's important to share with other believers. Hey, look at how the Lord is working in my life. Look at how the Lord is guiding me and grooming me. Are you letting Jesus direct your life? Are you letting the Lord gather you around other Christians? You know, it's really helpful for us as God's sheep to be around other people who are God's sheep, who are walking with the Lord and learning from the Lord. And sometimes we need to be lamb enough to be gathered around and captivated by the good, great shepherd and share that with those that we're with. The good shepherd feeds, he gathers, but then also it gets even better because thirdly, we also learn the good shepherd carries there in verse 11. It says, and carry them in his bosom. Now, listen, Jesus Christ has carried the weight of our sin, but he continues to carry us when we can't walk. One time he carried and forgave us of all our sins, past, present, and future, but he continues to carry us even throughout our Christian experience. You know, sometimes if you actually look at shepherding, they have to go find these lambs that get off into some crag of a rock and they've got to rescue them. You know, there's some really hilarious YouTube videos of those in Ireland that are finding their sheep that have run off. And there's this one where this lamb had been caught on this rock kind of hill something or other. And as the shepherd freed the sheep, it literally rolled and bounced down the hill with its fleece because it had gotten overgrown. And it's a pretty funny video. But, you know, it's just it illustrates the idea of needing to be carried and held and continued to be guided. But we should recognize that as wayward lambs, sometimes we need to be carried. And as scared lambs, sometimes we need to be comforted by the closeness to the shepherd's heart, which is what we see here. Because when he says, carry them in his bosom, the idea of the good shepherd is that he keeps us close to his heart. The shepherd is pictured as cradling the lamb near his heart. There's this tender care that's pictured here. Because in a lot of ways, shepherds mostly would just throw the sheep over their shoulders, grab both or all four of the legs and kind of carrying them along, you know. But this is sort of picturing that cradling and carrying near the heart. He doesn't just throw the weak lambs over his shoulder, but sort of carefully, lovingly holds us near his heart. Sometimes we need to let the Lord care for us this way. You know, I quote this verse a lot, but I think it's a very relevant verse. It says in the Proverbs that anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And sometimes when we get a good word, we get a good word through God's word, through other believers, and it lifts burdens off of us. Sometimes the Lord speaks to us in those times. He carries us. And so this idea here is the Lord is bearing our burdens. And the question becomes, do you and I let the Lord bear our burdens? Or are we carrying around everything that we need to figure out and understand? Or are we giving that to the Lord? Are you and I letting the Lord hold us close to his heart? There is a closeness to the Lord's heart when we're scared little lambs, that in being near the heart of the Lord, we're encouraged. I always like to think about this verse in the context of John 15, where it tells us to abide in the Lord. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. So the closer we are to the Lord, the more fruit will be borne out in our lives. So the closer we are to him and allowing him to hold us close, the more comforted, the more encouraged we'll be. And so the good shepherd feeds, gathers, carries. And lastly, we see how the good shepherd leads. Notice it says, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young. You could sort of highlight that one part, gently lead. Jesus Christ wants to guide and direct our lives. This is really the biggest part about Jesus being the good shepherd in our lives. Is we tend to think that we're sophisticated sheep, super sheep, smart sheep, and so we don't really need the shepherd. That's what Shrek thought. He got himself into a lot of trouble. He had to carry a lot of burden, but sometimes we can do the same. Sometimes we forget we're lambs and we behave like goats. Remember the goats, they can be independent, but they don't have the problem of fleece like sheep have. They don't have the unintelligence problem like sheep have. So goats can kind of do their own thing. But Isaiah shows us how the good shepherd guides our lives. Aren't you glad that the Lord wants to gently lead you and I? I know I'm glad. There's been many times in my life where I've said, Lord, I'm so glad I had you to help me take the right steps in this situation, in this difficult season. And here, the shepherd leads those who are, in essence, leading others. Pay attention to what it says. Gently lead those who are with young. Have you ever felt like as a parent that you were sort of a deer in headlights? Like, I mean, I know I feel that way often. Maybe it's just me, but I know a lot of parents that feel like sometimes, man, what do I do? And I found that being honest about that is helpful because then I say, Lord, I ask for kids and you answer my prayer, but now I need some help with the instructions because something ain't working right. And the Lord's always faithful. I know as a parent, sometimes, you know, you don't know the steps to take. And I know from experience that can create a lot of pressure. But maybe you don't have kids. Maybe you have others that you're leading in some regard that you feel a great weight to want to do what's right. But yet the Lord wants to lead you in leading others. And so it's an interesting picture. He knows exactly how to be gently guiding us as we lead others. This is why Jesus said, again, John 10:27, I love this verse, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. It's interesting, there's actually three great titles regarding Jesus as the shepherd. John 10, of course, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one that gives just that good, caring, sacrificial love for the flock. And it tells us actually in Hebrews 13, verse 20, it says that he's the great shepherd. He's going to be triumphant over evil, the great shepherd. And then it tells us in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, that he is the chief shepherd, Jesus is. Chief over all his people when he comes back the second time at his return. So he's good, he's the chief shepherd, he's the good shepherd, the great shepherd. And here, even in the Old Testament, we get a picture and a glimpse of what Jesus fulfilled in the New Testament. It's also interesting that he's given another role as the chief shepherd, as the main shepherd. He will one day divide the sheep from the goats, as it tells us in Matthew chapter 25. And as I think about the idea of letting the Lord lead, you know, if you've trusted Christ for salvation, you've sort of signed up to be a simple sheep that needs guidance. And as you walk with the Lord, he wants to lead you in your life. What kind of decisions did you think about today that need to be made? What kind of things do you not know the answer to? God wants to show you and guide you and lead you. The question is, are we letting Jesus lead us? We're called to let the Lord lead us. And he absolutely wants to do that. The good shepherd feeds and gathers and carries and leads. It was once a story I heard of someone said that in the highlands of Scotland, sheep would often wander off into the rocks and get into the places that they couldn't get out of. And part of the reason why that would happen was that the grass on these mountains was very sweet. And because it was sort of untouched, these sheep would sort of smell it, you know, and they would jump down these areas that were really difficult to climb out of. It was easy for them to get down there, but very difficult for them to get out of. And they would be there until they had eaten all of this sweet grass. And the shepherds there in this place in Scotland would often sort of be looked at and frowned upon because people would tell them, why don't you go get the sheep right now because you know the sheep is there. But what they have to do is they would have to wait until those sheep got completely exhausted. In other words, they'd been there a while, they'd eaten all the sweet grass, they had gotten tired. Because you know what would happen, and this is what those folks in Scotland, those shepherds would do, they waited until they were weak because if they went down there when they were still strong, not only would the sheep die, but the shepherd would die with them because they would put up such a fight and not be able to be getting out of that position. And I love that story because it sort of creates that picture that sometimes the Lord will let us get to a place where we've carried a burden, we've been trying to do things on our own, we think we're smart sheep, we're super sheep, we're sophisticated sheep, and the Lord lets us get totally tired and worn out before he comes along and he goes, hey, are you done? I want to help you. He feeds, he gathers, he carries, he leads. Have you forgotten that you're a sheep who needs a shepherd? I want to close with another funny story. It was actually of a newspaper that ran in Maine and two photos that were on the front page. One was of the kind of the board of, you know, just decision makers and elders in the town, and the town manager was in one picture. And the other was a picture of a flock of sheep. And then under those photos, there were captions that identified what those pictures were. And what had happened was the newspaper had gotten the captions mixed up. So under the board of elders and the select men and the town manager, city manager, under that picture, it said, "The sheepfold, naive and vulnerable." "They huddle for security against the uncertainties of the outside world." And of course, you know, on the other one, it said something else, but it's just funny because, you know, that actually works. You know, even if they got the captions mixed up, that the Bible gets it right. The Bible tells us that we're sheep in need of shepherding, that we are naive and vulnerable. I want to go back to that second picture of Shrek because it's really something to sort of stick in your mind, because as you think about Shrek here in this huge fleece, I mean, that's not a blanket on the ground. That was the gigantic thing that this little dude was carrying around. Now, a little bit more facts here. After 6 years, this amount of wool that you see on the ground that this little tiny sheep was carrying is enough wool to produce 20 suits for large men, bungee size men. See, each year Shrek continued to grow the normal amount of hair for this particular just breed of sheep. And since it was never cut, it was 6 times the average for this particular sheep, 60 pounds. Such a burden to have to carry for such a small little animal. All because Shrek thought he knew what was best for himself. And this is often what happens to us. And this is why I want to close with this verse. As we think about this, we have a choice. We either carry our burdens or we allow the good shepherd to carry those for us. We let him be our leader. We let him be our satisfaction. We let him gather us around those he wants us to gather around. And this is why Jesus said in Matthew 11:28-30, he said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Will you let Jesus show you his goodness tonight by letting him into your life as your shepherd? Or perhaps, again, just surrendering over to his lordship in your life. Or maybe just be encouraged by the fact that he wants to continue to shepherd you in your life. Let's pray.